Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Happy Friday to everyone. Hope your weekend has been happy. Hope your week has been happy because the weekend is here, everybody. But even if your week was a challenge, as I know mine was, I Am Athlete is here to set the weekend off right for you. I'm your host, Omar Kelly, the producer of I Am Athlete, and I'm joined by my co-host, 2014 All-Pro cornerback with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's been the guy who's talked the longest about Joe Burrow being elite, being better than Josh Allen, and he proved that last week. One of the realest and most authentic guys in sports, and one of the most authentic guys I know, Adam Pac-Man Jones. Pac, how you been doing, brother?
Omar, I'm doing good. You know, it's our show tonight, the Pac and Omar show. You know, we're waiting on Auntie. We don't know what's going on. She had an emergency going on. But I'm excited, man. We got a lot of good things to talk about, O. And we could take our time tonight. No rush. You know, it's just me and you on a date tonight, man. I'm athlete tonight with me and Omar on a date.
You know what's funny, Pac? Because I was just saying this to – I was talking to my wife, and I was just talking about you. I've had this conversation, I don't know how many times, just from shooting the IMs with you. Because wherever we go, somebody knows Pac or somebody's got a great Pac-Man story. And my wife's cousin, he met you in Kentucky because, you know, Kentucky and Cincinnati, y'all neighbors. So he met you in Kentucky and hung out with you. And you was the realest dude then. And just being there in Cincinnati and taping the I Am with you, and you know, and the Circle K lady and the CVS lady and everybody in the town, that's realness. That and that's the one thing I will say about you. If anybody ever asked me about Pac-Man, I'll say that dude is real, authentic.
Yeah, and you know, that's my problem sometimes. I think I'm too real. You know, I don't think I'm a celebrity. That's the biggest pet peeve with my family and my wife. She's like, hey, don't forget who you are. Like, you just can't be walking around. I like, everybody's everybody. Treat everybody right. You know what I mean? Hopefully they treat you right. But 9 times out of 10, it don't happen like that. But yeah, man, I've always been for us. And if I can help anybody, you know what I mean, without hurting myself, and if it's in the right form or fashion, I'm always going to do it. Let's get into the show, Omar, because we got some to talk about tonight, baby.
Yeah, we got a good show for you tonight. D'Amico Ryans is at the head of the line when it comes to two NFL coaching jobs. And we'll discuss which one do you think is the best fit for the 49ers defensive coordinator. Matt LaFleur quickly found work after being fired by the Jets, returning to a team that he's familiar with. That's what nepotism is all about. We'll also talk about an NFL player going on Twitter and requesting a massage therapist in Houston, Pac. Where does that sound familiar to you? But first, let's get into D'Amico Ryan, who was a front runner for two NFL jobs. On Thursday, news came out that he was viewed as a front runner for the Denver Broncos job. Pac actually addressed that and said he doesn't know if that's a great fit for the young man. But then on Friday, the Houston Texans, a franchise where Ryan spent most of his NFL career as a player, word started leaking out that he's a front runner for that job also, which isn't surprising considering his history with the Houston Texans. Ryan served as a 49ers defensive coordinator for the past 2 years. He's helped the 49ers defense finish the regular season second in total yards with 301 yards allowed, and first in points allowed, 16.4. And before getting into coaching, he played for the Texans from 2006 to 2011. Two-time Pro Bowler, notably won Defensive Rookie of the Year, and is considered one of the top defensive candidates. I'm not even going to say a Rooney Rule candidate because that would kind of be disrespectful, but he just so happens to be African-American. And so he's been on the interview circuit for the last 2 years, but it looks like he's approaching the point where he's going to get that, could be able to kick down that glass ceiling, Pack. Which team do you think, if offered the job, is a better situation for D'Amico Ryan? You're on mute.
Denver, what was the three? You said Denver? Who else?
No, it's Denver Broncos and then the Houston Texans.
All right, so this is me personally. Denver Broncos don't match up. Denver Broncos need an offensive mind coach. The Texans, I don't know, man. I'm so tired of this shit with the Texans. I don't know. This is what I will say. He's a defensive-minded player. He's been an All-Pro. He's been a Pro Bowl. I would go to Denver. Denver got a top-notch defense right now. They got one of the best tandem secondary in the league. All you got to do is go over there and help Russ. If you could go and find your offensive coordinator after talking to Russ and figure out what he fit or what he wants, I think that's a way better situation than going to the Houston Texans. We all know what's done have happened the last couple years with the Texans. You're going to get 5-1 year over there if you just look at somebody wrong.
Maybe you last two, Pack. The Texans is a troubling situation. I'm not necessarily certain that's a good fit for anybody who would take that job just based on how that organization's ownership group has acted, how Nick Caserio has run the franchise. I mean, you fired two coaches in one and done season.
Not even that, Omar. You fired two coaches. You got rid of all your best player. Let's go down the list. All right. The quarterback.
Yes.
What's his name? Deshaun.
Deshaun Watson.
The receiver, my boy. What's his name? Number 10. Come on now. Goddamn.
He's in with Arizona. The name escapes me. Damn.
DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins, yes.
And then they got rid of the DN. Then they get rid of, I don't know if
J.J. Watt, yeah.
They get rid of J.J. Watt. I don't even know if we want to really talk about Clowney. But everybody that's done came through Houston that's had any kind of input on being good, you can even go back to the running back, Foster. Like, they done got really everybody in that organization from time in and time out. Who want to be a part of it? I just don't understand. Like,
I mean, I've covered organizations that are intentionally being mediocre so that they can stock up younger, cheaper talent. And the Houston Texans, they do hold the number 2 pick in the draft and the number 12 pick in the draft. That's what happens when you start purging your roster and trading away better players for talent. And I believe they're $40 million under the cap, which, you know, is under the projected cap, which is pretty impressive. But that doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's going to be an instant turnaround like what you saw the Giants do this year, or what you saw Minnesota do this year, going from, you know, disappointing franchises to teams that made the playoffs. I think the Houston Texans, they were a gutted franchise and they got a lot of rebuilding to do. And I don't touch that job with a 10-foot pole, to be honest with you, Pack. If offered, I don't even accept the job.
The only good thing that the Texans have that they got 2 and 12 in the picks. Now they might try to do something else to get another. Me personally, I would do whatever I can do to try to get me 3 first-round draft picks so I can at least try to change the culture of the Texans.
But the first-round draft picks doesn't guarantee you that you're going to have a good player, Pat.
It doesn't matter because you ain't got no veterans that want to go to that motherfucker. So you better go and get you some first-round guys or some guys that you're drafting that's guaranteed they got to be there.
That's true. Guaranteed. It's fair. Cheap labor. Cheap labor is important in the NFL. But if you're D'Amico Ryan, you got to take that Denver situation. Obviously, they're going to put you in position of power. What does that mean for Russell Wilson? I don't know. It probably depends on who you can get to become your offensive coordinator, because we all know that the offense was the issue, and the coach would have to be able to get Russ to that next level, help Russ elevate his game and get him back to where he was when he was with the Seahawks. I'm not sure that's going to be that's probably going to be easier said than done. But as we know with African Americans, and when you look at the history of what's gone on with Brian Flores and Steve Wilks and Leslie Frazier and Lovie Smith, beggars can't be choosers. And we, it's not like people are banging down our door to give us opportunities to coach one of these three and one of these 32 NFL teams. So it's you know, D'Amico might have to take what's offered.
I don't know, man. I don't agree. If that's the case, should I stay where I'm at? He got a good situation.
Not everybody's like Jerry Jones making a rain pack.
Hey, man, San Fran, they paying.
Let's hope so. Are you comfortable, Pack, with one African-American, one person of color breaking through the glass ceiling every offseason? Is that going to help us change the tide of this disparity that we have when it comes to fairness and equality in the hiring practice of the NFL coaches and the NFL GMs?
No, how is it going to change when every year one of them getting fired? Like, it's like, all right, sweet spot. All right, cool. You know what I mean? You get a year, boom.
They look at franchise and say, it's your turn to hire one now?
Yeah, your turn to hire one, boom. I don't know, man. I know it's a lot of good African-American, I mean, black coaches or whatever race you want to call.
People of color, minorities.
People of color. Yeah. Because there's a lot of them coaching position. The main coaches that really coach are the position coach. Those guys are the guys that have the relationship with the players. That come talk to us when we like, nah, I ain't doing it today. You know what I mean? So that go a long way. I think, I don't know, because I really don't like the Texan situation for them. I think Denver is good, but the Denver situation, you only got 2 years. Like, there's no way that you can do what they did this year and think and do it next year and think you'll be around. So it's a touchy situation. And where now, like, shit, they playing for the championship this weekend.
And also, if you keep in mind, Denver's in a very tough division. I do hear what you're saying, I do agree with you. It might only be a 2 year window, because it's not like, unless you're getting rid of Russell Wilson and starting over with another quarterback, he's not getting any younger, and neither is that defense. So I totally hear what you're saying. Let me ask you this question, Pack, because I've always known this as somebody who covered the league. They feel comfortable with African American coaches coaching defense, maybe even being a defensive coordinator. Now, you can coach the secondary, and you can coach running backs and wide receivers. Why don't you see African-Americans venture out and become more special teams coaches or become more offensive coordinators? Why is it that you think that they don't elevate?
That's a good question. Some of them do, but, like, the same reason why they don't elevate to be a head coach. It's not too many guys that get the chance to be a head coach as an African-American, same way as coordinator. Because normally, if you're a really good coordinator, you're going to get a shot to be a head coach. Like, Luan Marmo is a hell of a defensive coordinator. I don't know how long we're going to be able to keep him, but he deserves a head coaching job. Like, you can't hide that when you're an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. I can hide a position coach, even though he might be doing the personnel and doing all the fronts on third down. I can hide that. You get what I'm saying? But I can't hide if he got the title as a defensive coordinator. It's a lot of DB coaches around the league that do the whole third down package. And you'd be surprised that the DC don't even do the third down package. A lot of the NFL teams, the defensive back coaches sit in there and they come up with the plan with the coordinator. Now, you do got some great defensive coordinators like the Mike Zimmer, the Paul Gunthers, the Luan Romos, Buckeyes. I can go on down the line. Pittsburgh, you know, where things are different, but it's hard, bro. It's hard out here.
Yeah, no. I've always wondered also, why don't more players get into coaching and players get into the front office and scouting and being executives for organizations? But, you know, I understand after your playing career, you probably last thing you want to do is spend 12 hours in the building.
Well, me personally, I don't want to coach, but I'm one of those guys that can tell you everything that's going on in the game. I'm talking about from kickoff return to kickoff to punt yeah. return. I played every special team and I started on defense. So I was pretty smart of knowing everybody's job. And that's a big thing with what's going on. But it's hard for us as African-American coaches getting these key positions. And we see it time in and time out. And a lot of these coaches that are not African-American coaches can lose way more games and get away with it.
That's true. Or get rehired.
Yeah, but if you got an African-American quarterback and you're a white coach and you're losing, they're going to get your ass out of there. So it's like it's kind of tit for tat. It's kind of funny how they play that game. And nothing with the race thing, but it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what it is, man.
Like I've always said that for an African American, right now you see the trend. If you want to fast track your way to an NFL head coaching position, one, you got to be a former quarterback coaching quarterbacks, or you just have to be a quarterback or what I call a quarterback whisperer. That it doesn't matter if you're a leader or not. If you do that, you work with quarterbacks, you'll get that opportunity. You'll be fast tracked like a Ken Dorsey. But yeah. So that's why I think it has to be more African Americans working with the quarterback. But then when you look at a Byron Leftwich, even that doesn't even save you.
Yeah. But this is I'm Athlete. This is Omar. We're going back to Mike LaFleur thinking about taking the coaching job at Denver Broncos or the Texans.
DeMarco Ryan.
DeMarco Ryan, sorry. But yeah. Back to what you were saying before you go on, you was talking about our boy down in Tampa.
Byron Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich. Before Big Fella left, do you think he had totally control of the offense?
No, he didn't have total control of the offense. That was Tom Brady's offense.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
I mean, and I don't think if you look at it, you know, a lot of people don't realize this and probably don't give it the respect that it's due. But I'm a person that always believes that the football games are won and lost in the trenches. If you look at what happened to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before they even began the season, their offensive line got gutted from injuries, retirement, free agency. And so it impacted their play. So you already start. Then they had injuries, not to make excuses for Tom Brady, but they just weren't a good team to begin with. And it's unfortunate Byron Leftwich, it cost him his job, especially when he turned down the Jacksonville Jaguars job as a head coach. But hey, these are the cards that you're dealt, and I'm sure he'll find a way to rebound and respond and get back up to the top.
Let me ask you this, Omar. Do you think Leftwich, you think he's going to get a head coaching job now? Do you think he'll have a shot to get another head coaching job?
In time, I think African-Americans, history has taught me that we have to be twice as good at our job to get the same opportunity. So he'll probably have to go lead a top five offense for probably two or three seasons before his name gets back circulating as a head coach candidate. And I know that's unfair, but that's the world that we live in. Whereas if he was Matt LaFleur, speaking of guys who failed at their job but still got elevated, Matt LaFleur, he was hired as the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams. It was recently announced 2 weeks ago. The Rams began their search for a new coordinator after the departure of Liam Cohen, who left to become the offensive coordinator for the Kentucky Wildcats this past season. The Rams offense struggled finding a rhythm. However, a lot of that had to do with losing Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson to season-ending injuries. LaFleur, ironically, spent the last two seasons as the Jets offensive coordinator, where he led an offense that finished 29th pack. That impress you? Then the season before that, he led an offense that finished 28th pack. That impress you?
No, it don't.
Before LaFleur got to the New York Jets, though, he coached with Kyle Shanahan as a passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach with the 49ers. So, and everybody in the coaching community knows that LaFleur's the Shanahans, the McVays, they all a little tight click. They all work together. So it doesn't really surprise me that LaFleur has reunited with somebody in the clique. With not much success during his two seasons with the New York Jets, does LaFleur come in, restore the Rams offense, and bring back a title contender?
No, he's not calling no plays. Come on, man. Like
that's true.
29th in scoring. The last year, the last 2 years, they've been 19th in passing, 19th in rushing. Like, they've just been a team on the offensive side of the ball. Like, how he should have been fired. He should not be going to last year. The Rams was in the Super Bowl. And I know the Rams had a lot of injuries this year, but like, how do you get better by bringing a guy in that have nothing positive going on? I don't understand.
He's got a great football name, though. He's a LaFleur.
I respect that, but what have he done for me lately? That's Adam Jones, Brandon Marshall, T.O., Randy Moss. You can go down the list. We all got good names, but it all comes down to what have you done for me lately? When you can't run down the field, when you can't turn, and you can't catch the ball, or you can't get up the field like you used to get up the field, they replace you. And sometimes you have to come take a sit down and look at it from the outside in to get back in the game. But I don't understand this move. It must be because of the
nepotism,
of whatever this is right here. But you cannot tell me that this helped the Rams. I know last year they finished last in the NFL in yards, but is it really the offensive coordinator? Yeah. No. The offensive coordinator got you to the Super Bowl the year before that.
True. That's a very valid point. Let me.
So you telling me Sean McVay think he's that bad? He's that bad.
Here's my question, and I'm very clear that I don't know Matt LaFleur. I don't know his brother either, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. But what I do know is nepotism is real. You probably dealt with it on every squad that you've been on, Pack. Where a son is an assistant coach, son of somebody is an assistant position coach or quality control coach. And then they eventually rise to position of power and they take care of one another. There's nothing wrong with that, Pack. Now, does that help you?
But Go Mike ahead. Need to perform. Mike is not performing. He haven't performed since he was with somebody else. It'll so he's been on his own his last 2 years. He ain't even been average, bro. It's 32 teams. He's been averagely at the 20th team every year.
Now, but in fairness to to LaFleur, he hasn't had a good quarterback to work with. And I think that you're looking at the Jets situation where, you know, they've had Joe Flacco starting for a handful of games, probably about a half a dozen games. Joe Flacco's been toast for probably the last half a decade. So Mike White, Joe Flacco, it's not a good situation. So I'm not sure that it was fair to evaluate him based on what he had to work with. Now, does it hurt him that he couldn't develop a quarterback?
Probably. Yeah, you can say all that, but we all know that Matt LaFleur was McVay coordinator in 2017. And we all know that this is the only reason why Mike is getting the job.
Mm, you're right.
Now, I understand you talking about he ain't developed this. He ain't developed that shit. He ain't developed. He need to go sit back over there. He got to go back to school. That's why he going back over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on back to school. Let me show you how I go.
Sean McVay, he calls his own plays and is considered a genius and a mastermind of offenses. So maybe LaFleur can go over there and learn a thing or two, and maybe the Rams get better when they get healthy. I mean, this is a team that won the Super Bowl last year and they just fell off a cliff.
As an offensive coordinator, when you don't score a touchdown in the final 3 weeks, I don't care who's the quarterback. You can pick any NFL quarterback. If you don't score a touchdown in the last 3 weeks, which is the the nuts of the season, if we win one of these games, we're in the playoffs.
Oh man, Pat, come on! Oh, you saw how bad they were playing down the stretch.
Oh my God, I hear you, but like
you're raising the bar just a little bit too high for the Jets.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
We back on I'm Athlete Tonight. It's your boy, Adam Pac-Man Jones, and the one and only Omar Kelly. My next block is, could the NFL championship be moved to Sunday and Monday event? On the heels of a neutral site conference championship game, Pro Football Talks is reported another idea gaining some traction in the NFL. Jamming the conference championship game into 2 days instead of one. We do it 2 days on a Sunday and Monday. I looked on here and the fans on Twitter, I don't think they really like the idea, but currently, one game in, the next one starts. By Monday morning, one of the teams, the games dominated conversation by split them into 2 full days. Placed on one game. Before attending shifts to the next one, the NFL would dominate the sports conversation all day Sunday, all day Monday, all day Tuesday. With 2 week breaks before the Super Bowl, the team that went on Monday night will experience no advantage when it comes to preparing for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it would give two teams to play on Monday no extra days of preparation. If the Chargers, Rams, or Jets, or Giants ever hosted the conference championship in the same playoff cycle, the league may decide to give it a try. Omar, my question to you, how do you feel about the conference championship game being split over 2 days?
I have been warning everybody that we are heading in this direction of neutral sites. Pernell, you was on there when I'm sitting here fighting with dudes and telling y'all when I heard that idea about, you know, because the game got canceled, heard that, hey, they might be going to neutral site, and then they decided that they were going to Atlanta. I said, it's over for conference championship games being hosted by the team with the best record. Once the NFL figures out how to make more money, how to create a bigger stage, if they can figure out a way how to turn $11 billion into $11.3 billion, they will do it.
Well, the reason why they're going to do it, Omar, because you got to think about this. If you got one full day, guess what? It's longer pregame, right?
Yeah.
It's longer advertisement. It's longer postgame. A lot of the main attraction is going to be the sponsors and stuff because you got the whole day.
Absolutely. Not only that, Pac, but think about it. And obviously this is something that they'll go to the owners meeting and they'll figure out. But they're trying to turn the environment of conference championship games into the bowl system games where you got big sponsors. You got host cities. Host cities are bidding for it. So maybe you get, you know, maybe if you got the Super Bowl coming in 2026, you might get the AFC Conference Championship game coming in 2025, just to, you know, the build up to it. And what I'm interested to see is if they would do the championship games on the same site on different days, or if they would just move it to, let's say, one conference championship game is being played in Dallas's mega structure arena, and then the other is being played in Atlanta.
But like, for players, like, this is not college, bro. Like, that's the only reason why I don't agree with this.
You like a bigger bag, though, Pac?
I don't think the bag changed for the players, though.
Well, it does, because how
is it going to change? Tell me that.
Now, it's not going to change out of your pocket because you're not going to be paid any different for the playoffs. But what's going to happen is the coffer, because y'all get 50% of the revenue that the league makes. That's what determines what your salary cap is. So if the salary cap gets big, the only way the salary cap gets bigger is if the league continues to make more and more and more money. So now if we move to these neutral sites for these championship games, you make more money.
How do you think they make more money moving to a neutral site when people got to travel?
That there's going to be teams that's going to be bidding to host. Then you got advertisers that's going to sponsor everything. The walkway and the hotels. So it's about advertisement and sales and marketing and you know, super. I'm sorry, South Florida's gonna try to be hosting the AFC Championship game. I mean, we already host the Orange Bowl. What's an AFC Championship game? And so it's all about making more money.
Well, I'm quite sure that South Florida is gonna be the top choice, Omar.
Of course,
because. Yeah. It's summertime in winter.
That's correct. See, I know y'all like the elements. Like, I looked at that Cincinnati Buffalo game, and I was just like, man, I wanted to be a track meet. It's not going to be a track meet in that snowy surface. Like, that's not that. I get it.
Are you serious? Well, hold on. This is I'm Athlete, and we're this Adam Pac-Man Jones. And Omar Kelly, and we were talking about could the championship be moved to a neutral site for a Sunday, Monday event? And Omar is with it. I'm definitely not with it. Now he got a problem because of the conditions that was last week. Like, are you serious?
Always, Pac. I look at it from the standpoint, and you got to understand.
So
I'm not out there number one. So – and I wouldn't want to be out there. So I know you probably you played most of your career in Cincinnati. Y'all ain't even have no indoor practice facility. So if it snowed, y'all was just out there in the snow.
Right.
So you tough, and you probably was one of them guys out there with no sleeves on while it was snowing. And I probably looked at you like you was crazy. But I'm gonna say this, and I want you to understand, I'm speaking for the average fan. That slow track, that low-scoring game.
It wasn't slow. It wasn't slow for the Bengals. It looked like they was moving pretty fast to me.
It's whack. Huh? It's whack. I want a track meet. I want a high-scoring game. And all these Green Bay 40, you know, like the Green Bay 49ers game where the weather and elements play a factor in the game, that's whack. That's not good for TV. And whatever's not good for TV isn't good for NFL pockets.
So are you telling me during the regular season that when we're going to play up in Kansas City this weekend when it's minus 12?
Yes.
And it's snowing, then when you're going playing in Miami in the beginning of September when it's 105, that just because of the fans that they like the sun and don't like the cold, there's a better spot to play in?
I just want the elements to not be a factor in the game. That's why people build domes, Pac. That's why these cities, Indianapolis has a dome, Atlanta has a dome, even though it don't even snow in Atlanta. Like the weather shouldn't be a factor in the game. And if it is a factor in the game, and I get it, that's authentic football. That's old school football. But old school football don't get you to $15 billion.
Man, I don't know. I don't agree with that. We got a call on the line. Sean, the producer, said we got a call on the line. Brunell, caller.
Yep, we got Nick in L.A.
Nick in L.A. who wants to talk about Matt LaFleur. What's on your mind, Nick?
Hey, fellas. Hey, I actually, real quick, are they saying on Monday, like Monday when everyone's working?
Sunday, yes. Monday.
Hey, don't you watch Monday Night Football? Now.
Yeah, but I got stuff, you know. The whole deal is you sit down on a Sunday and you double up and you get both
Tell
teams.
Them.
And I get, you know, come on. Like, that's, I got 6 hours with no headache. Like, that's the deal. Not 2 days of, like, and actually, I think that is an advantage for the team who plays first, right? Come on. You get to know who you're going to deal with.
It's just one day, though.
Well, I don't know. It's one day, but I get it. I get the revenue thing. But I was going to say about Mike LaFleur, because as a Jet fan, it was brutal. But my question to you guys was kind of like, do you think like McVay and that whole wave of like young guys kind of gave guys opportunities that weren't ready? Like everyone was searching for like the young mastermind, and it's like I saw 12 quarters of no touchdowns. I mean, that's almost impossible, you know, like, so I don't know, like, if these guys are just like, maybe that's part of the nepotism conversation. Maybe that's part of life, or like, hey man, these guys are getting shots, but I'm actually kind of glad we hired Hackett. Cause it seems like, you know,
he's a nepotism hire too.
I know. And we ran his dad out of town too. So, you know, way back.
I forgot
day,
about that
but.
Part.
Well, thank you, Tim. No, appreciate it. Tim, question was, do we think that since McVay, I mean, huh?
That was Nick. Yeah.
Sorry,
Tim.
Nick. Question was, do we think McVay opened up the pipeline to get the younger guys hired?
And absolutely.
Were they ready when they got hired?
No, they weren't. Not everybody is. But what I respect about Sean McVay is, he's got one of, outside of Andy Reid, and I've looked it up, he's got one of the better pipelines for young coaches, and his coaching tree is quite phenomenal. Now,
I know Zach Taylor ended up being pretty good coming out from over there.
Yeah, now, absolutely. He certainly did. Zach Taylor's also under the Joe Feldman coaching tree, too. It helps who you work with. Yeah. I think that not everybody is meant to be a head coach. But if you know the right people and you make the right connections and you're part of the right clique, it certainly helps you. And that clique happens to be Sean McVay clique. He was hot. He was like a fashion designer that had a hot line of sneakers or bags, and everybody just wanted one, Pac.
I totally agree. He was like the Hot Boys when they came out. Lil Wayne, BG.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All his money. Yeah, so he had a good line. We got Tim from North Carolina. He want to talk NFL business model. What's
hey,
up, Tim?
How you guys doing?
Excellent, Tim. How you been?
I am real good. Is that pack that's on there? Man, I just wanted to give you your
thoughts, sir.
On Joe Burrow, man, all year you've been saying it, you know. But
I appreciate
what I really wanted to talk to you guys about was the whole business model that the NFL has become. And I think you guys have to agree that in a lot of ways it does a disservice to the idea of what we call the team. The team doesn't really exist anymore. Basically, it's nothing but speculation. I mean, And it's based on potential. Like, I'm going to pay you in advance based on your potential. So what happens is you have these teams that have three or four big dollar players, mm-hmm. and then the rest of the team is made up of veterans, rookies,
yes,
trades that you can get, guys,
cheap veteran free agents, yeah.
But you know who flips the bill for this is the fan ultimately, because you got to keep raising the prices. You know, the mm-hmm. capitalistic system, everything has to keep going up and up and up. And here's the biggest yep. problem I have is that I think it places a very unfair balance when it comes to people that are from certain backgrounds. Like, see, everybody's down on Dak for his performance and all that without knowing anything about his background. And what happens is when you get the high reward, all of a sudden you have high expectations. And people like, you know, maybe like, some guys, when they get the big money, they sort of flunk out, i.e. Cam Newton, i.e. Joe Flacco, i.e.
Oh, hold on. Wait, Tim.
Cam went to the Super Bowl, Tim.
Cam played well for a long time, for a decade.
After he got that big contract, they never were able to put enough players around Cam to keep him going.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I think you're saying the quarterback money is preventing teams, but that's the model every team has. The model is to build your team as strong and as young until you have to pay the quarterback. Yeah, and then
let me give you one quick example. Like, you take somebody like Lamar Odom, played a 10-year career in the NBA. Over his 10-year span, he made $110 million, which in today's terms would be about $150 million. Got two rings, okay, and he was basically servicing the contracts. He never demanded the most money, but he played with really solid teams. I don't think you could put together that team anymore like that, especially not with the NFL model. Don't you guys think that some of these players that are very young, they get very big contracts, are put under an extreme amount of pressure that they themselves have to home up to? You know what I mean? I mean, like,
let me explain. I appreciate your call, Tim. Let me explain the NFL's business model to you, okay? Because I've covered the league for 15 years, and I consider myself one of the authorities from a business standpoint of the NFL, because I could look at a team's roster and I could tell you who's going to get cut, who's going to get shaken down. You know, when you look at an NFL roster, they're usually about a dozen to 16 players who are making over $6 million a year. And I'm not counting what they got in their signing bonus 3 years ago. I'm counting, what does your paycheck say? Are you making $6 million a year? That's 16 of 53. Okay. Mm. Everybody else is making a million or 3 million or 1,000 ears, because a lot of the guys on the back end of the roster, 1,000 ears. Now, the problem with that is that's good money to the average public, but it's not good money as professional athletes and all the work they have to put in. Now, on top of that, you have non-guaranteed contracts. So basically, unless you're a rookie, or you just got a fresh deal for a multi-year contract, your money isn't guaranteed. And then even if it is guaranteed, based on what they need or how you performed or what the circumstances is or how much they got to pay the next quarterback, they probably going to come to you shaking you down to make you take a pay cut, unless you want to start over with a new franchise and move on. That's just the nature of this league. It's unhealthy, it's problematic, but this is part of the culture, because nobody wants to do what it takes to make the sacrifice to get guaranteed contracts. And you know, there have only been two players, really, that are non-rookies in NFL history that have gotten fully guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
Their names are Kirk Cousins and
all of them.
Huh? What'd you say?
Kirk had got all his guaranteed.
Kirk got every dollar of his money guaranteed, but he had to be franchised twice to do it and had to walk away from that in Washington. And then homeboy with Houston,
Deshaun Watson
is the second one. The problem is the next cycle of deals, Kyler Murray, The next cycle of deals, Russell Wilson, who, thank God, Denver's probably praising God that that wasn't a fully guaranteed contract. And then Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
these are the guys. The quarterback has to be the one who breaks down the barrier. And unfortunately, that's just not going to happen.
This is I'm Athlete. That is Omar Kelly. I'm Pac-Man Jones. Sauce Gardner. Okay, Aaron Rodgers to come into New York. We have been talking about Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets, but since Hackett have become the offensive coordinator, it seems like people are talking over there. Sauce Gardner had this to say earlier on Jets TRT.
You know, I wouldn't mind that. You know, I just want what's best for the offense, but same time, I got to just focus on my job and focus on what we got going on the defensive side.
Oh, which was so funny. He came back to say that Aaron Rodgers is elite and wanted to answer. He wanted him on his team. He's the MVP. Omar, my question to you, with the changes in the offensive coordinator, do you think Aaron Rodgers will land with the Jets?
I think if he did, history would be repeating itself with Brett Favre finishing his career with the New York Jets. I think Nathaniel Hackett becoming the offensive coordinator probably makes them the favorite or the front runners. I just don't know if that's the move that I would make. I would probably rather go with Derek Carr than Aaron Rodgers at this point if I was the Jets.
Derek Carr over Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think – come on. The way – is he going to show up for the offseason program?
Yeah.
How many years is he going to play?
Did you not watch the season? I mean, the season this year, like 90% of the first five games is because they was dropping balls, not because he wasn't throwing darts.
Okay. Didn't pass for over 300 yards all season.
He didn't. And – that was an issue, but it was one game from the playoffs. And we still having these conversations. It's a lot of guys that haven't threw over 300 until last week, and we praising them every week. So I can't measure his career with this year because it was kind of up and down. But we all know that Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball anywhere, bro. And me personally, I don't know. I think that's a good fit.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.